No matter what are my fear provoking, no matter what are my fear provoking things that come out of my fear, my immortal mental body has no physical brain and cannot end. This is Thought for Today, Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. No matter what are my fear-provoking thoughts that come out of my fear, my immortal mental body has no physical brain and cannot end. We have fear of death. Well, we watched the movie last night. What was the name of it?
What dreams come from?
It was one of the Robin Williams movies on dreams. And in it, it had a great deal about death. In fact, his two children died, he died, and then he was trying to put everything together in his death experience. And it was quite fascinating. I thought, how very interesting. Purgatory Revisited, the Divine Comedy with Dante revisited in a modern setting. And I thought to myself, how unfortunate. What dreams may come. This is a Robin Williams movie. And it tries to be triumphant, and it tries to be wonderful. After life, there is more. And someone had a very interesting way of looking at life. In there, it said that suicides are terrible things. And of course, suicides are terrible things, but every death is a suicide. Now, we don't have to die. We don't have to die with our physical body. We can just disappear, and many do. Many do. Our missing persons report are filled with people who have not died and have not been abducted or been abused in any way. They just disappeared. They just took their body with them. And you say, I know some of those people. Those weren't really spiritual people. Well, how do you know? How do we know anything about what's going on inside of another person? We think we do, but oh, we surely don't. You see, the fear-provoking thoughts that are in our mind have nothing to do with our reality. They have only to do with the physical life that we're living, in this human life that we're living. They have nothing to do with our immortality. People say, we had a call the other day of a man who was saying, you teach we're immortal, you teach that we don't have to die, and yet people die. And yet people who are sharing this idea, they die too. And they get sick. You're not supposed to get sick. Our teaching of the University of Healing, the Church of God Unlimited, the Worldwide Healing Ministry teaches you don't have to die. You don't have to experience these things. But that's true. That's true. Now, we don't have to walk on the bottom of the river. We can walk on top. We can walk on the water. We don't have to be burned by the fire. We can walk over fire and not be burned. Oh, come on now, Herb. You know, what's all this about? Well, what all this is about are just these little symbols that we play with, these little games that we play with, and we say that they are supposed to indicate spiritual illumination, and they don't. They don't indicate spiritual illumination. They merely indicate that you know how to play the violin. They merely indicate that you know how to use the rules of life harmoniously for whatever purpose you want. Now, we don't have to breathe, and we don't have to drink water, we don't have to have a physical body at all. And many people have played with that, toyed with that in movies. And we don't have to have health or sickness or death or life. We don't have to have any of these things, but we want them because it's a game of the human being that we're playing. And it's a common and a comfortable game that we're playing. Now, the human body has a brain. The mental body does not have a brain. The mental body uses the human body to express what is going through its thinking system. And the only purpose of the human body is to express our mental thoughts. Now, if we're going to have limiting mental thoughts, then we're going to have a limiting mental body. We're going to have limited mental experiences. And if we have fearful thoughts, my goodness sakes, we surely are going to have a fearful body. We're going to have fearful things going through our body. As the movie What Dreams May Come, and it's an old movie, but as the movie showed, it showed the purgatory activity, it showed the hell activities, it showed all of these things and done in very modern terms. And it showed, it said that people who committed suicide could never be redeemed because they had put themselves beyond redemption. And what a silly thing to say. What a silly thing to say. There is nothing anyone could ever do that could not be forgiven. Jesus said, forgive 7 times 70 times. The whole thing is, we in reality, we don't forgive because there's nothing to forgive. Whatever things we have done, if they're stupid, then we don't do them anymore, or the time comes when we don't do them anymore. You mean you're too old to do them? Well, whatever the reason may be, it doesn't matter. But the point is that we live in the now. And if we were to be responsible for all of the naughty things that we did in our many dimensions of living, we would be just overwhelmed. And now you say, well, what about the good people? Hey, the good people, as far as humans go, were also bad people. Because the bigger they are, the harder they fall, as the saying goes. If a mother says to her child, I love you, I want only the best for you, and I teach you honesty, I teach you integrity, I teach you purity, I teach you goodness, I teach you love, I teach you all these things that I can teach you, and then you take it and work with it. And then the mother says, now, let's not tell your sister that her dog has died. But why not, Mommy? Because it'll make her feel unhappy. Well, what are we going to do when she asks where the puppy is, you know? Well, we'll just say that the puppy has gone to heaven, you know. Well, won't she know then that the puppy died? Well, yes, but it's a little nicer way of saying it. Well, now why is the mother couching the fact that the dog is ill or going to heaven or dead or whatever? Why is she couching it in such fearful terms? Because there's an area where the mother hadn't come to terms with herself. She hadn't come to terms with the idea of death. And she thought that death was an ugly thing, that death was a mean and hateful thing. It was an evil thing that should not happen to anybody. And at the moment, the earth appears to have thousands or millions of people going through the death experience every day. And not all of them think that it's bad. They go through that experience of leaving their body behind. Now, what's so bad about that? There's nothing wrong with that. The body is left behind for obvious reasons, you might say, when it is no longer beneficial, it is sick, and it is decrepit, or it is whatever. But the body doesn't have to be that way. The body doesn't have to be that way. If we were to teach the wholeness of the body so that we don't arrive at those states of being decrepit, of those states of being ill and so forth, that'd be kind of nice, wouldn't it? It'd be kind of nice to master that area of our life. We spend so much time, and this is the humorous thing, we spend so much of our time teaching our children reading, writing, and arithmetic, and teaching them how to get along in the world and how to handle human situations, that we don't spend any time. How much time, even in Sunday school, when I was a youngster, we were given off Wednesday afternoons to go to church, to go to a church school, you know, just to have, if our local churches were conducting Sunday school classes for the kids. And the congregational church I belonged to, they had it, and we'd go over there, and we'd have an hour or two of whatever the studies were that we had, and then that was it. But here the training of our mind and our body and our soul, if you will, the soul doesn't need training, but the training of these things is given the minority of time of learning. We have, let's say, 10 hours of learning a week, and we're giving 1 hour or maybe two to religious training. And nowadays, that's not even allowed. They don't allow you to take time off from school to do that. But you say, well, now, some church schools have it, like the Catholic schools and the Jehovah's Witnesses and other schools, they have time off. I mean, not time off, but they're just a church school. So they're teaching this stuff all the time. Yes, that's right. That's good for them and wonderful. But what about all the rest of the people who are not getting this? These are the fabulous people, too. You know, they're just as much a genius as the ones who attend the Catholic school. And they're not getting this, what you might say, religious education. And let's just dwell for a moment on what is religious education. Religious education is following whatever, if you will, the leader of your faith has taught. Buddha, Jesus, whatever. Okay, now, we are more familiar with Jesus, perhaps, than with Buddha and with Lao Tse and Confucius and many of the others. Now, what is it that Jesus taught? Well, he taught love yourself, love your neighbor like yourself. He said, love the divine within you, love the Lord, the God, and the God is within you, he taught. And then he taught this terrible, frightful, unrealistic statement. He said, be ye therefore perfect, even as is your Father within you. We're supposed to be perfect. Well, now, maybe a little training in being perfect might be advisable, might be helpful. How do you be perfect? Well, now, in our philosophy, we find that quite simple. We just say, according to your thought is done unto you. Jesus said that too, yeah. And so did the great philosopher. But anyhow, how do you think? How do we think? Now, here we know how we should think. We know we should think beautiful thoughts. We know we should think lovely thoughts. Well, what's this hell and purgatory all about? That's our consciousness. You know, that's our attitudes. The show did say everything is thought and things like that. And with our mind, we can release the negative thoughts by thinking positive thoughts and so forth. There's a lot of value in there from that point of view. But the graphic display of the hell, fire, and damnation that was throughout the movie was a little stronger than the thought idea that your thoughts are the creator of your world. So, how do we create, or how do we teach positive thinking? How do we teach glorious thinking? Norman Vincent Peale taught positive thinking in many wonderful ways. And other people teach positive thinking. But the point is, it isn't a matter of who teaches it. It's who follows it. Now, when you know the truth, does it make you free? When you know the truth, do you speak it? Do you live it? Do you express it? Do you share it in every possible way? Do you say, I know that I know that I know God in me is the answer? I mean, man, if every school child were to say that, they would go right to the source and every one of them be a straight-A student. Everyone. And you say, I live in my eternally perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my eternally perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body. Wow! We would have bodies that would just be spectacular, you know, it'd be wonderful. Yes, and I am independently wealthy. I mean, what a great thought that is. That's not from your job, it's not from your mama, it's not from inheritances, it's not from this or that or the other. I'm independently wealthy. Wow! If we were teaching ourselves and our children to learn those things, what a wonderful world is we. And love your neighbor like yourself. Love your neighbor like yourself. Like yourself. And if you think you're a pretty nice person, then look at your neighbor like a pretty nice person. If you think that you're a desirable, wonderful, fabulous being, well, that's what your neighbor is. And our neighbor is in Iraq. Our neighbor is around the world. Our neighbor is right next door. Our neighbor is our family member. Our neighbor is ourself. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. You see, our mental body has no brain. It has no limitation to it. It goes on eternally. It is free from these things. But we put on a cloak that is fragile, and it doesn't have to be. We can illuminate it, as the story is of Jesus going to the tomb, and he came out of the tomb with his illumined body, with his spiritualized body, and he wasn't even recognized. He wasn't not recognized because he was an alien, you know. He looked so strange, but he looked the epitome of the perfect man, because indeed he was the perfect man in his illumination. And we too can enter into that. You say, well, you know, sure, he was great. Oh, come on, get off it. The criminal on the cross next to him said, I respect you. I know who you are. And Jesus said, well, today you're with me in paradise. You see, one instant of recognition, one instant of coming aware of who we are, and we're there. Now, give yourself the chance to have that one instant by keeping your thoughts directed toward where you want them to be. Be yourself whole right now. Be yourself wonderful right now. And watch the miracles happen. You're fantastic. I love you, and have a wonderful day.